Welcome to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. The eternal question, what the heck are we going to talk about today? Very little of it good. Do you know that today is 9-9-19? I don't think that's like a numerological thing, but it's kind of interesting. If you were just doing a one-digit year, it would be 999. If you were to flip it over, that would make it 666. Now, that could be the year we're having. Okay, I know that's a stretch, but most mystical things are, in my humble opinion. We do have an open forum today. The number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. Open lines are available. I'm going to do something that I haven't done in a while, and then do something else related to it that I haven't done in a longer while. I have a quote that I want to read. There was actually a lot more to it. I haven't been able to find a transcript online. For some reason, they don't do transcripts from AM Joy, and they really should, because she's very smart, and she sometimes has a really good show. This was from AM Joy on August 25th. That was a Sunday, and the quote is from Jennifer Rubin, who is reputedly, I would assume, a moderate Republican, assuming there is such a thing, a moderate Republican who has left the Republican Party. This is a long quote, but it struck me at the time. I was hoping I could find more, like, because there were some other things that were said that I really kind of like, but this is what we got. This is Jennifer Rubin on AM Joy on August 25th. It's incredible. You know, I wrote a column way back when, around the time Sarah Huckabee Sanders was denied service at restaurants. What we should be doing is shunning these people. Shunning. Shaming these people is a statement of moral indignation that these people are not fit for polite society. I think any institution... The University of Virginia, for example, for a bit, had a relationship with Mark Short, who's now back with the administration. It's absolutely abhorrent that any institution of higher learning or any news organization or any entertainment organization that has a news outlet would hire these people. I want to echo something my friend E.J. Dion said. It's not only that Trump has to lose, but that all his enablers have to lose. We have to collectively burn down the Republican Party. We have to level them, because if there are survivors, if there are people who weather this storm, they will do it again. And they'll take it as confirmation that, hey, it pays to ride the waves. Look at me. I made it through. Up and down the ticket, federal, state, and local offices, the country has to repudiate this. It is not a normal administration. And when these people say, oh, you can't criticize us, it will deter public service. It will deter people who are liars, who are enablers, and who are really bad people, and they should be deterred. They don't get to escape accountability. That's all of our jobs, to hold them accountable for the rest of their lives. Yes, we need to burn it down, burn it all down. That was Republican columnist, conservative columnist, maybe I should say, Jennifer Rubin on AM Joy on August 25th. That was a Sunday a couple of weeks ago. That's stunning. That is truly stunning. Okay, well, I have now taken care of that piece of business. I wanted to make sure I got it in because it's long and it's really stunning. I mean, burn it. You know, there's a scene in the movie The Battle of the Bulge toward the end where a wounded Henry Fonda is trying to prevent the Germans from capturing a fuel depot, and he's saying, just burn it. Burn it all. That's what Jennifer Rubin just did. She kind of channeled Henry Fonda in the movie The Battle of the Bulge, which is historically not that accurate, but is still a terrific film. Okay, my usual shtick. I'm not going to go through everything yet. We'll do that as we get closer, but we are getting close. The last day to register to vote is Monday, October 7th. It is currently Monday, September 9th. You are running out of days to make sure you are registered to vote. You can check if your registration is valid or if there are any problems or if you've been expunged. You know, voter suppression lives in Texas. So you can go to harrisvotes.com. There are ways you can check your registration, your ballot, when it's up. The ballot may not be up yet, but harrisvotes.com. You can also go to votetexas.gov, and they will also check your election status, your registration status, whether you are registered properly to vote or whether you're going to get some kind of surprise obstruction when you get to the polls. In Harris County, you'll be able to vote early or vote on Election Day at any open poll. Now, personally, I advocate early voting. It's just so much easier and so much less hassle. But at least now you can't be chased from precinct poll to precinct poll saying, "I'm sorry, you're in the wrong place." There is no wrong place in Harris County. Now, the adjacent counties are under different clerks, but Diane Troutman in Harris County has been able to put this rule in place. So that's cool. Always remember, there are ways that you can vote by mail. And again, you can get information on that. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Also remember that even though this is technically an off-year election, those are actually the elections that have the most direct impact on your everyday life. So don't blow it off because there's no president, there's no governor, there's no congressperson. You're voting for the city council. You're voting for the mayor. Nothing really gets closer to controlling your life than that. You should turn out like a presidential election because that's how important it is to you. We'll get more on that as we get closer. I do have a lot of this stuff in detail with links and whatnot at thinkwingradio.com. There are posts at the blog tab, so you can go there. Okay, let's see. I know I've got Scott on the line. I just kind of want to get to a couple of things. This is recent news. This came up at 10:30, basically 11 a.m. Eastern Time, so 10 a.m. Central. House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler referred to his committee's probe as formal impeachment proceedings. I want to emphasize something here. And I mean, I'm with people on this. I understand the frustration that people have. Why hasn't this president been impeached yet? Why aren't the Democrats moving faster? I want to point something out. The reason you feel that way is because for 2 years you had Republicans totally ignoring the lawlessness and incompetence of this administration. So we have 2 years of frustration built up in us. The Democrats have only had 8 months. Now, if you think about this, if they had been elected in 2016, we would already have an impeached Trump. So, I mean, I get the urgency. It's not only the frustration. It's like we're tired of his face. We're tired of his voice. We're tired of his stupid pronouncements and tweets. But keep in mind, the Democrats are only there for 8 months. Think about what has been accomplished and where we have come to in just 8 months. If this was the first year of his first term, this would be astonishing speed. It's just that, you know, we've got 2 years under our belt where nothing was done. So just, you know, keep it in perspective. And there's, you know, sort of like a whole article about that. But I think that's the main point. And then there's the Bahamas. Now, you know, I normally don't do above the fold first page news, but I got kind of caught by this. Apparently there is a quote from one of the survivors that was made into part of the headline. Grand Bahama right now is dead. Three CNN journalists recount what it was like to ride out the storm and emerge in its aftermath. And then, and I think this is the story that sort of juxtaposed for me. Some Bahamas evacuees were told to get off a ferry headed to the U.S. CPB, which is something border protection. What is that?
That's customs.
Customs and border protection. Yeah, which doesn't seem to be what they're actually doing. Customs and Border Protection blames the ferry operator. Yeah, I'm sure he came up with this entirely by himself. The ferry boat operator that ordered some hurricane evacuees off its boat did so because it did not properly coordinate the evacuation ahead of times, I'm adding this word, claimed U.S. Customs and Border Protection on Monday. That's not part of the article. I added the word claimed or alleged. Late Sunday night, CNN affiliate WSVN reporter Brian Enten posted video from Beleria ferry boat in Beleria ferry boat in which a person announced over a loudspeaker that anyone traveling to the U.S. without a visa must disembark. The ferry was set to travel from hurricane-ravaged Freeport in the Bahamas to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, when the announcement was made. Enten's video shows families with children getting off. One woman told Enten that as many as 130 people left the ferry. This brought to mind A Christmas Carol, where Scrooge, early in the story, says, "If they be like to die, then let them do it and reduce the surface population." It's kind of like the old Daily News front page when Trump basically threatened to let New York City go bankrupt. And they had a very succinct and very, very famous and iconic headline, "Ford to New York, drop dead." And literally and figuratively, I think that's what our government is now saying to people in the Bahamas who normally can travel back and forth without a visa. And actually, it was made clear that people flying from Bahamas to the United States do not need a visa, except, of course, the airports aren't working. So that's a non-problem for CPB. I mean, it almost leaves me speechless. If I didn't have stuff to read, I would be speechless. Okay, we do have an open forum. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. I also have a Facebook page, Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig. I also have a Twitter account, at Think Wing Radio. I have no imagination whatsoever. You can also help support this station by going to kpft.org. You can look up programming. You can learn about shows. We have over 100 unique shows. We have archives that keep shows for about 60 days. And, of course, we have a donate link, and that's always nice. You know, whatever you can afford at the moment, if you have any spare pocket change, if you want to forego a coffee or a latte and say, hey, you know, maybe KPFT could use that $5.60. Yes. Yes, we can. Or if you want to do a supporting thing. Now, this isn't a fundraising show, just to let you know. Those are coming, but this isn't it. This is just my commercial break, so to speak. KPFT.org. You can donate. You can also go to 713-526-5738 as a text and text the word give, and then you'll have an interactive thing. There are so many ways. And just tell friends. You know, it's amazing just spreading the word, how helpful that can be, just to expand our listener base. And then when we have fundraisers, we have new people that we can hit for money. And, you know, then maybe you don't have to feel quite as, not that I don't want you to feel like you want to contribute or feel obligated or guilted into contribute, but we'll have a whole new group of people to obligate and guilt. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? Okay, 713-526-5738 is the number. We have open lines. And first caller is Scott. You're on the air, Scott. How you doing?
Thank you. I am wondering, how many people have stocks in medical insurance companies? How much of the stock market is it?
That's a great question. I think strictly from an advisory standpoint, when they set up like mutual funds, groups of stocks to invest in, the healthcare industry, not just insurance, I mean, that would be for profit hospitals and drug companies, etc. Healthcare is considered not only a growth industry, generally speaking, but also an industry that's relatively safe from declines because we have an aging baby boomer group that will need increasingly various kinds of medical care and home and physical support.
Somebody must not be figuring on Medicare for All coming soon.
You know, I mean, you have to remember if and when that comes. And I'm just going to say here that I think the best plan at this point is Medicare for All as an available option to anyone who wants to buy into it.
Okay.
I would also believe that Medicare for All should set a bottom for the minimum that any insurance, any free market insurance plan must cover. Must. It's a
base. It's kind of like you have to have seatbelts. You can't sell a car without seatbelts. It's the law.
Yeah.
And then, in addition to having Medicare for all, if you want to buy certain supplements, then I think the private market should be allowed to provide that option. Now, I also believe that available health care is not entirely helpful. I'm not going to say it's meaningless, which is the word that came to mind, but I think it's inadequate if it does not also include vision, hearing, and dental care. Because all three of those things are so important, not only to quality of life, which is a personal thing, but to productivity, to safety, to good health. People with bad teeth have bad diets. There are just so many things involved. So I think that we should have complete medical care. I think it's fine that taxes go up. It should go up more for the people that are beating taxes now. But the fact is that what your employer is not paying for medical insurance, at least in theory, is available to be negotiated as pay. I mean, there are all kinds of ways that you can pay for this kind of a program. The infrastructure exists because you've got the private companies. The private companies aren't just going to be put out of business. They'll probably be used as contractors that will pay a Medicare established rate, just like doctors get paid. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to put a whole sector out of business. There are ways that they can be folded in to the process. And I don't know that that's been made entirely clear, you know, to what extent it's been thought about.
Well, stockholders would be a constituency against Medicare for All. And
they would be bought out, or maybe their companies would still have value as contractors.
Well, and it may not just be the 1%. I imagine there's a lot of people who just draw dividends.
Yes.
I had, in my Republican days in college, I had a friend who was in stocks, and I'm sure he knew all about what how politics worked on the stock market, the effects politics had on the stock market, and that's the way he looked at it.
Well, you know, at this point, it's early days. I want to point out there are people who will go nameless that I follow on Facebook who tend to post old articles without date citations as if these are relatively new. And there is a significant difference between news and history. When I'm doing this show and I have articles that I've seen that I like but I don't get to, they're sort of, to an extent, evergreen. They're not topical. And there comes a point where the article is so old that no matter how much I love that article, I know I can never use it on the show. It's just gotten too dated. And, you know, when you
post... Are you talking about this friend I had when I was in college?
I don't know.
I think that's a universal thing, a timeless thing.
It's common, and it irks me. And this one particular person, and again, I'm not going to mention names. He's a Bernie guy. And, for example, at least three times that I know of, he has posted an article from April 11th that says Bernie's in the lead. April freaking 11th.
Oh, okay.
Now, I don't know that he was ever actually in the lead. Maybe April 11th he was, like, close enough to be in a statistical tie. But it's not April 11th. It's September 9th.
Okay.
And at this point, Biden is still in the lead. His lead has reduced. Bernie, in the one poll, I think was a Wall Street Journal poll, is in second place. Biden has like 29, and Bernie has like 17, and Warren has like 14. In a couple of polls, she's been ahead, and a couple of polls, he's been ahead. But I think the important thing here is Bernie and Warren are in a statistical tie.
Okay. Well, now, there's a further aspect I'm wondering about. Is it public information what stocks politicians own? Candidates for office. Can I find out whether a politician has stock in medical insurance or in private prisons or a few other issues that are important to me?
I can't speak to politicians. I believe that office holders have to provide disclosures.
Okay, Right.
Now, I don't know how extreme they are, because it's like sometimes the range makes it hard to determine. I don't know the specificity that's required.
Okay, I did mean office holders.
Okay, yeah, office holders file forms. Office holders file forms.
Yeah. Okay. They certainly have to.
And candidates often, but as we've learned, not always, voluntarily put out tax returns, but also must file forms, which again often lack specificity.
Okay. So the information they have to file might not be really be specific enough to be useful.
You can't know until you dig or you read an article about someone who has dug.
Yeah, and it doesn't get into the media.
It does sometimes. You know, I have to tell you, it depends so much on where you look that there was a significant finding. I just found out about this yesterday from this very person who annoys me, and he actually posted something that was 2 weeks old that I did not know that is of consequence. Apparently, the Senate, I think it was the Senate Intelligence Committee, put out a report that really indicts the 2016 election as having been severely contaminated.
Okay.
And it's like, hey, this is a Republican-controlled body with a Republican-controlled commission, and I don't know how I missed that. It came out like July 25th, and I didn't see it until September 9th.
The Federal Election Commission?
No, this was like a Senate. Oh, geez, do I have that anywhere here? No, that's a grid cyber attack. That was interesting. Okay, UK had to, US had to extract somebody. Jeez, I thought I had pasted this in. Nope, I didn't. Okay, but if you look it up, if you look up Senate Commission Report, like July 25th, I think you'll find it. And it's a serious indictment of the whole election, which came out of a Senate body, or a Republican body in the Senate, which is itself striking. And I don't know why it hasn't been bigger news, except for the fact that, you know, Trump is very, very good at diversion, digression, and distraction.
Yeah, okay. And I've seen reports of voter suppression in those three states.
Ohio, yeah, wants to expunge 200,000 voters. And that
Wisconsin,
is why...
Michigan and Pennsylvania.
And Texas is trying to do it, too. And that's why And that is why I keep telling people at the top of every show, check your registration status. You may have been expunged without you ever knowing it. You must check your registration status. I do it periodically, you know, and I'm an old white guy. I'm the kind they like to keep, more or less.
Well,
but
we
I
do
check
have
too.
A Democrat is county clerk now.
We do, but this is a state level thing in some cases.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes it's county, sometimes it's state. I think this is state.
Uh-huh.
And we have a Republican Secretary of State who's trying to expunge 200,000 names in Texas.
Right, yeah.
And they've already found that the list is defective in a great many ways. They've already found 4,000 people on the list, which is about,
2%. Yes, well, I think he had to send it to county clerks in all the different counties.
Correct.
And many of the county clerks looked at the list and found gross errors.
And some county clerks are refusing to enforce it. But, I mean, the fact is they're trying. They're trying.
Yeah.
And if you have a county clerk that is compliant to the effort, you could be disenfranchised. So it pays to make sure whatever state you're in, anywhere, any county, any state, find out how you can validate your registration status.
Yes, indeed.
And make sure. Because you don't know where and you don't know when you're going to find yourself with one of these problems. Okay, Scott, unless you want to wrap up, I got to go. Anything you want to say?
I'm finished.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Take care. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. Mike Koenig, I'm sorry, that's not my blog site. ThinkWingRadio.com is my blog site. At ThinkWingRadio is how you can see or talk to me or follow me on Twitter. and Facebook, Thinkwing Radio. I'm terribly unimaginative. And KPFT.org. Do not ignore KPFT.org because they keep me on the air. I'm grateful for that. Sometimes I'm amazed by that. But here I am, KPFT.org. Read it. Get involved with it. Support it. And tell your friends. That is the cheapest thing you can do to help the station. Tell your friends shows you like that you think they might enjoy. And there are archives that you can use to sample or listen to shows. And we have podcasts as well. You can download shows. You can download my show as a podcast. I don't even know how that works. I just know you can do it. So that's pretty cool. All right. Next up is Albert. Albert, you're on
hey,
the
Mike.
Air. How you doing?
All right, man. How you doing, Mike?
I'm okay. What's on your mind?
Oh, just thinking of the people across the Atlantic there, the Brexit. I spent the last 2 hours listening to KUHF, and that's what they were talking about, the Brexit.
Yep.
And what confuses me is, one, I don't see how anybody makes sense of anything they're doing over there. But I also think that the European Union is not just going to let them go without some form of punishment so that nobody else leaves the European Union, especially Germany, because I think Germany wants to get out.
There are countries that would think of leaving if Britain set a precedent that made it easy. But, you know, the other side of that coin is the European Union very much does not want Britain to leave the Union. So while on the one hand they might make the terms punitive, on the other hand, if Britain wants a delay, they will get it granted. The EU wants them to stay. They want this stupid moment in British history to work itself out.
And the only reason that got me to call your show is because you started it off with that, you know, if they're going to die, then let them die. And I thought, wow, that sounds like the Brexit.
It sounds like conservatives. You know, do you remember Alan Grayson when they were talking about Obamacare? Alan Grayson was a representative from Florida. And he came up with, I mean, this is great. You can find it on YouTube. He came up with what he described as the Republican version of a health care plan.
Uh-huh.
A, don't get sick. And B, if you get sick, die quickly. So
I
think that sums it up nicely. I mean, they can put all kinds of pretty language in, but that's kind of what, and some of them will say it out loud. Poor people aren't entitled to health care. They don't deserve it. Some of them say that out loud. It's like, don't they know we can hear them? That's the old question. Don't they know they're on tape? They're on video? Don't they know we can? And no, apparently because they are in the literal sense of the term. You know, a lot of times we use the phrase literally. They are literally shameless. Literally shameless.
You think they're going to leave on the 31st? You think it's going to be extended?
No, they've already passed a law. Parliament got a law passed. Basically, Boris Johnson has not yet had a successful parliamentary vote. His own party is deserting him, literally deserting him, literally physically crossing the aisle to the opposition. And today, I think it was, they managed to pass a law that requires him to go to the European Union and ask for a delay. Now, what teeth that command has is something that remains to be seen, but he has been ordered by Parliament, by legislation, not to leave the European Union on October 31st and to request an extension. So now it's a matter of, will he do it?
And you don't think they'll hold another election to see if they will still want to leave?
I think they may.
Yeah.
I mean, the first referendum was stupid. I mean, it was, I think, John Major, who was the Tory prime minister. He had an argument with somebody, and it was like, you know, so many people want to leave the European Union. It's like, but, you know, we're for free trade as conservatives. And finally he said, you know what? I'm just tired of arguing about this. Why don't we hold a referendum and see what the people want? Now, mind you, the referendum was always non-binding. But they've treated it.
They didn't have to do it.
They didn't have to do it. It was a non-binding referendum. They've been treating it as a binding referendum, which I think is the first problem.
Yeah.
So.
That's nuts.
Thanks
for clearing all that up there, Mike.
I appreciate you calling, Albert.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, next up, and we do have open lines, by the way, 713-526-5738. It is open forum, but there's so much to talk about. How can you come up with anything that's not interesting on some level? So feel free, 713-526-5738. The same number you can text to, by the way, with the word give and help support the station. Just saying. Okay, next up is Jacques. Jacques, you're on the air. How you doing?
Okay. I got the fan on in here. Is it too much wind noise?
So far, so good. Let's see how it goes.
Okay. I can't be good calling in with the same name all the time. You probably get tired of it.
Oh, yeah? What name do I know you better by, maybe?
The English equivalent.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I don't think you call in oppressively often, so go ahead.
Okay. Hey, you know that guy was talking about referendum? I think that's probably a good idea. Do that in all kinds of countries. We should do that on Trump and on Medicare and da-da-da. All that kind of stuff over here.
Well, there are states that have the power of referendum where you can vote to put something on the ballot. Texas has that kind of law. A lot of states have laws allowing ballot, what do they call them? I can't think of the word. But ballot initiatives. There are a lot of states that permit ballot initiatives by referendum.
Well, there you go. I don't know how to do that. You got to go to the library to look up that kind of thing.
Or you can call the political party of your choice, and if you have something you would like to put on a referendum that they might favor, they might tell you. Or they might tell you just to be good, you know, civic citizens.
Yeah.
Or you can look it up.
And then that's the kind of thing they also require some certain amount of signatures in order for it to have validity.
Yes, to get a referendum on the ballot, you've got to have a certain number of signatures, and it's a large number.
Yeah, I know. It's 100,000 or something.
I don't know, but it's hard.
Yeah.
You can't do it all by your lonesome. You're going to have help.
There you go. And isn't that how it was meant to be?
That is how it was meant to be. You have the freedom to persuade people to your point of view, and if you can't, you can't. And if you can, that's politics.
There you go. And yet no man is an island.
That's true.
Part of the greater whole.
But, as I think was said by one rock group, no man is an island, but he is a peninsula.
Uh-huh.
So, I forget who that was. It'll come to me after I leave the station, no doubt.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, anything else?
I'm kind of a big picture guy. I wanted to say about the election thing. I heard that we should have two presidents, one for domestic, one for foreign. And therefore, two cabinets. You know, each one of them is going to need a cabinet.
I am sure that would work not well.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, if I got a ballot initiative with 100,000 signatures, you'd have to fend for it, huh?
Well, but now you're talking about a constitutional change, and that is a totally different deal. Now you've got to get state legislatures to go with you, or you've got to get Congress to pass a proposed amendment that then goes to the state legislatures. Now you're talking about several layers of harder.
Much taller order.
Much taller order.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks. I like listening to your show.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
You bet.
Take care. All right, you're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT in Houston, 90.1 FM. I don't know that I say that we're in Houston often enough. I have to remember to do that. You can find out what's going on with the show, with the station. You can download podcasts. You can listen to archives at kpft.org. It's very simple. What is it? Seven letters and a punctuation. What could be simpler? kpft.org. All kinds of stuff there. Explore. You can also listen live from anywhere in the world. I've literally had people call from Oregon and California, so I know people are listening around the world. Okay. Next up is MOD. MOD, you are on the air. We're doing good today on the phones. How are you doing today? What's on your mind? And tickle me with something for the first 1 or 2 minutes, and then we'll see how far we go.
Okay. Tickle. I was going to say a joke, but I'm not going to do it.
That's probably wise.
Okay. And so I'm not going to try to expound on the history of mafia and the government for you, Mike.
If you can condense the bullet points down into a minute, you can.
I'll give you a soundbite. No, I'm not going to do that because it's...
I'm putting you in a hard spot here. I think you need to make, like,
let's do this.
Index card notes.
I'll listen to the conversation. I'll give you a little insight on Brexit. How about that?
Brexit,
make it easy.
Sure.
Okay, they're not going to let them leave, even though the people of Britain demand it and require it. That's why the European Union put a mandate, date of October 31st.
Demanded, required, I think, is excessively strong in terms of describing that referendum, but go ahead.
Whether the people require it, they demand it.
No, it was a non-binding referendum.
So the people want it, but they put these clowns in there like Cameron or May or Bojo, meaning what that is they're there to delay it, okay? And their parliament, we're similar. They have what I think it's called the Commons.
The House of Commons and the House of Lords.
Yeah. And they got the Lords, I think. That's the Senate.
It's not a direct equivalent, but kind of, sort of, maybe.
Yeah, I mean they have the Commons.
They have an upper house.
The Lords, and so the lower chamber and upper chamber, and we know that their parties are spread apart, but like their Labour would be considered like the left, and Bojo and the last. May and them are more like the Conservative Party.
The Tories, yeah.
That's right. Very good. So this is what is clear to me is that the reason they got Bojo in there is just the drag of the feet, because any kind of concession would be where they don't leave, and they're going to drag it out. And then, again, the European Union gave them that date.
Boris is doing everything he can in terms of parliamentary tricks to essentially break the UK out of the EU in a way that doesn't give Parliament enough time, he thought, to prevent it. Parliament proved him wrong today.
Well, it's been over 3 years, and the people require it, and that's why May...
No, you keep using that term, and that term is just inaccurate. No, the people do not require it. First of all, it was a non-binding referendum. And secondly, polls. No, it was a non-binding referendum.
That's how you start, Mike.
Yes, maybe, but it was non-binding.
Then it goes to the parliament, and whoever's in power, who is elected, is supposed to represent the voice of the people.
They're also supposed to lead.
They're not representing the voice of the people.
They're also supposed to lead. And if the people want to do something that might damage the country, it is the job of a leader to say, I think you're endangering the integrity of our nation because Scotland might leave and Wales might leave and Northern Ireland might leave.
Incompetence. When May got voted out, there should have been a snap election. They didn't do that. They put Bojo in there.
Right.
Now, don't let his funny looks, Benny Hill, fool you. He's from the highest level of academic. He
is smarter than Trump.
During college.
He's not.
I'm telling you.
His politics is stupid, but he is educated.
That first vote, and the representatives are supposed to respect that. And they're not. Those two parties are just like. Now, here's my opinion. Ready?
Okay.
Those two, the Commons and the upper, the Lords, they're the same as these two parties over here, and they have the same corporate fascist handlers. And that means, tell me one thing different between this party's Democratic Party and the Republican Party.
And between the Democrats and the Republicans, you are going to tell me there is no difference?
No one.
I hear people say that, and it's the stupidest thing I can hear. I say that, with caution. I do think about what I say on the air. And I have to
say
that anyone who says that the Republicans and Democrats are the same, whatever their individual flaws and stupidities, that's just stupid.
Okay,
that's just ignorant.
Tell me if this is stupid. No one wants Trump reelected more than the DNC.
Oh, that's just totally wrong.
Well, tell me why you think why that's so frivolous. Where's Tom Perez the last 3 years?
I don't know what it is you're implying.
Well, in other words, they're corporatists, all of them, right? You mentioned that before.
I think that there's a level of corporatism in both parties or all the parties, because all the parties take some dirty money, including some of them taking Russian money, like, Jill Stein. But,
well, I mean, that's just a minute.
Hold on. Yeah. Andrew might like to drop in on my allegation that Jill Stein takes Russian money.
Well, that's not even a fraction of 1/100 or 1%.
No, but
what
it's part of the dirty money problem. Do you want to break in, Andrew?
I would, Mike. Thank you. I just want to quickly say, I don't believe that Jill Stein or the Greens have any kind of affiliation with Russia any more than any of the other major parties do.
Yeah,
I want
Comey.
To say that
she's at the table there with Comey, right? James
no, with
Comey?
Mike. What's his name? The National Security Advisor. I can never come up with his name these days. Mike.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, the National Security Advisor who was sitting next to Putin, and Jill Stein
right.
was three seats away from Putin.
Oh, that was the guy that he let go. Yeah. But the point is, that's minute to the establishment of, like, say, someone like Sheldon Adelson putting Trump in office using Facebook.
Adelson.
And Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah.
To steer the narrative, because it wasn't
Russian collusion.
Yeah, it's
all dirty politics, and a lot of it was Russian-inspired.
And so that company that Robert Mercer created, Cambridge Analytica, is renamed. The analysts, the tech, the data science is ready for the next election.
Okay, but you'll notice that the allegations you're making
are true.
Are from Republicans.
What?
Everyone you've named is a Republican or Republican sympathizer. Everyone. You haven't named a Democrat.
You that the guy who created Bridgewater Associates, who is where Ray Mercer comes from. Hillary Clinton. For Hillary Clinton,
every
stadium speeches.
Everybody at that level contributes to both parties.
I'm not favoring one over the other, Mike.
Their primary support is for the right wing corporatists, fascists, whatever you want to call them, crazies. I mean, they're the ones that support that wing.
No one really put the deregulation with austerity. South Chicago economics more than Bill Clinton. The stuff that he did, no Republican could have done.
Well, but you also have to...
privatization of the prison code reform?
Well, you know, a lot of people like to pull up some of the stuff that he did, but remembering that the stuff that he did was pushed on him by a Republican Congress is an important factor.
You know what happened in 96?
He had 6 years of a Republican Congress. I'm sorry?
Newt Gingrich, mayor of Contract for America in 94, that came in and took over the House and Senate.
Yeah, Democrats like to call it the Contract on America, but that's okay.
Yeah. Anyway, it was funny finding this article in Forbes that Newt and Slick Willie wanted to privatize Social Security in 96.
No, Bill Clinton, no. Bill Clinton was not in on the plan to privatize Social Security. That was actually a George Bush thing.
No, it's been going on for some time.
Well, yeah. The Republicans have been trying to destroy Social Security since 1936. This is not
news. Oh, yeah. Well, it's all a farce. What they're doing is they're coming after that next, and that's what Junior, he tried in 2000, his lame duck section on his last term, right? Went around and tried to do it. But the austerity that is this country, and that's meaning when we deregulate, when Glass-Steagall was removed by Bill Clinton's Robert Rubin, second-term treasurer.
And well, that was a congressional law passed by Newt Gingrich's Congress and by the Republican Senate.
It was the treasurer.
It was a law. Glass-Steagall was legislation. To get around it, it had to be repealed and modified.
Okay, and that was the fall of this country, right?
I think it was bad for the country. I gotta let you
go,
M.O.D. I've got a couple other people waiting.
I appreciate that, Mike.
All right, take care.
Peace.
All right, you're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. KPFT.org is how you learn about the show, the station, the community support that we need. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody. Also, thinkwingradio.com, Think Wing Radio Facebook, and at Think Wing Radio on Twitter. Okay, next up is Gary. Gary, I appreciate your patience and perseverance.
That's all right. Now I understand why Scott calls first.
He dials first.
Yeah, I know. He dials before your show is up. But anyway.
Sometimes he does.
I have three comments.
Okay.
Well, three observations.
Okay.
First, it was the Jefferson airplane, wooden ships, that no man is an island, he's a peninsula.
Was it Jefferson airplane?
Yes. I think it was just. Well, it could have been Starship, but it was in that time, because I remember hearing that. Jefferson Airplane or Starship.
Okay, we'll let that go. Maybe somebody will look it up and tell me.
one, I already did.
Well,
number two.
Verify it then.
Jennifer Rubin.
Yes.
All right. Now, I never read politics and stuff like that. I got hooked on the Washington Post for some reason a couple of years ago on my brand-new Christmas present Kindle, and I got hooked on Jennifer Rubin, and I don't know much about her. I love her writing, but I wanted to point out that it was over 2 years ago. That was 2000, I guess, and 17, that she had an article that I never forgot where her contention was we only had two choices, impeachment or the 25th Amendment. Now, this, she got a lot. I love the comment stream on these articles. They're great. But the people were freaking out and everything. She was a Republican and famous for being a conservative Republican. And here she was pointing out that 6 months after his election that our new president, we had two choices, impeachment or the 25th Amendment. Now, it's been over 2 years, and nobody counted on Mr. McConnell. I won't go there because I hate the guy. But so that's
well, Ryan wasn't blameless either.
Who?
Ryan,
oh,
Speaker.
The lizard. See, yeah. It was kind of, we had a guy that looked like a lizard, and a guy that looked like a snake, and a guy that looked like a turtle. We call him the reptilian.
Well, let's
Congress.
Not
but
let's
anyway.
Let's not get high school. We have a president.
I'm
who does
kidding.
That.
I'm kidding. I'm trying to be funny, Sonny. Now, the last thing is, I have solved the Brexit issue. By golly!
Yeah. What are you going to do? You going to respell it?
No, I'm going to propose an option, and that is. You know about the Irish backstop.
Yeah.
All they got to do to get this whole thing over is give freaking North Ireland back to the country that actually owns it and get the hell out like they did out of India and like they did out of Pakistan, like they did out of Kenya, did out of America.
That would potentially be the dissolution of the United Kingdom, which would not be advantageous to Western Europe or the United States or the Brits,
for that
matter.
I'm telling you, Scotland is leaving, son. Scotland is leaving.
Well, I mean, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland are at stake in Brexit. There's no question about it. No question about it. Okay, anything else there, Gary?
No, you usually enlighten me. You're in a hurry today.
Yeah, right? I got a couple of other callers, and I've got about 8 minutes.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Mike.
All right, take care, Gary.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, next up is Nicholas. Nicholas,
Hi,
you're on
you
the
doing,
air.
Mike?
How you doing? Thanks for waiting.
No problem. Quick question. Do you think that I get most of my information off of social media? I don't particularly watch the news.
Well, that can be a good thing, depending on who you're following.
Yeah. I was just going to say, most of the stuff that I pick up off of there seems to be painted in sort of like a sense of negativity. Do you think that most of it is negative, or do you think that's just the way it's portrayed on social media?
I think it depends on who you follow. I follow a lot of journalists. I follow some newspapers, some of them not in the United States. There are some people I follow for fun. I even have an account for my cat that occasionally makes me smile. I need that sometimes. But I think it's very much dependent. Now, mind you, sometimes the facts are depressing. I mean, the truth can be a depressing thing. So what your primary interest shouldn't necessarily be something that is uplifting. Not that I'm saying that's a bad thing. But your primary focus in social media should be, is this accurate? Is this accurate in spite of maybe amateurish hyperbole? And that means you don't necessarily believe that story, but that story may actually have better reporting somewhere else that you've now been alerted to look for. So there are ways of looking at news and information in social media. I find a lot of stuff on social media that I was not aware of, and I'm kind of a news junkie. So good that sometimes I'm pointed to something by somebody who picked it up in a source I don't know about, and I can verify it in a second or a third source that it's not just baloney. So just be picky about your sources, be incredulous, and, you know, trust but verify. The only thing Reagan ever said that I quote, trust but verify.
Yeah. Also, I just want to say I love your show, man. I got into it recently, and I try to catch in on it whenever I can.
I appreciate that very much. Remember, we have a podcast now that I don't know how it works, but it's there.
Definitely. Definitely will look into it.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Have a good one.
Same here. Take care. Okay, we have a caller and 8 minutes, so we might have time for one more caller if you want to take the shot. I guarantee what I can guarantee. I can't guarantee this, but I think you'll have time to get in. 713-526-5738. We will probably have a couple 3 minutes after Bob, but I do have stuff to talk about if Bob doesn't occupy the time with something interesting. Let's see. Bob, you're on the air. How are you doing? Thanks for waiting.
I'm wonderful. I don't know if I'll be interesting, but
we'll
let's
try.
Give it a shot.
Sure.
I was looking up Brexit the other night on the BBC.com, and that's why I wanted to call, because you keep saying something that was sticking in my head is not completely accurate. According to the BBC, the Brexit deal is a binding withdrawal agreement, which set out the term for the divorce process, but a non-binding political declaration on the nature of the future relationship between the UK and the EU.
Are you conflating the referendum with the legislation? The referendum
was under what the Brexit deal was.
Okay, the Brexit deal doesn't discuss the referendum, which was a non-binding referendum. Now, you do have negotiations that have gone on. You have, I think, like an Article 50 thing about withdrawal. You know, the prime ministers have been involved. The euro ministers have been involved. There have been promises and counter-promises and demands and counter-demands. And Ireland is actually a big, big thing. And the other big thing is that Scotland and Wales mostly don't want Brexit, but there are more English than Scots and Welsh. So, you know, I mean, this is tricky stuff. I almost think instead of Brexit, maybe they should call it Britzit, because it's like a big pimple on the face of the UK.
Well, and that may be, but I guess what I was trying to figure out after listening to you today is why not? I mean, okay, you say it's non-binding, but if it's non-binding, why did people even bother to go out and throw a vote, and the vote came out for the Brexit?
It was, well,
isn't that democracy at its finest? You know, everybody gets a vote.
Well, you know, even Congress does non-binding things like censures and sense of Congress, and they just do it to say it, and it gets the sense of Congress. So the referendum was called essentially because John Major was just tired of hearing Republicans call for Brexit, Brexit, Brexit. And he said, let's see what the people have to say, but non-binding. So a lot of people, I mean, as happens in our elections here, a lot of people figured, oh, you know, Brexit's going to win. They didn't bother to vote. Now the people that didn't vote, it's like kind of the Democrats here, they're very motivated to vote. So I think if they had another referendum, something you'll note the Conservatives fight tooth and nail to avoid because they think they'll lose a second referendum. If they had a second referendum, which could also be non-binding, I think that Remain would probably win. I was just in London. Now, I didn't get a chance to talk to loads of people, but I tried to chat. And there are people I talked to who voted for Brexit who now go, I don't think that's a good idea. If they had another referendum, I would be against it. And now that's a random sample. And
right.
I think that may be indicative of a sense of a lot of English. Now, I'm saying English specifically, working class people, who at one point thought, yeah, we want England to be out on our own. And it's like, you know, this is getting really, really messy, and I'm afeared for my livelihood. And I think you're getting a lot of that now, and I think that's why the Conservatives are fighting tooth and nail not to have another referendum.
Okay. Yeah, I've talked to a couple people here who are, you know, English-born and have businesses over here in my line of work, and I kind of get the sense from them, they're like, well, we were independent once before, and we did just fine. So, you know, why not again?
You know, my sense I'm sorry, may I interrupt?
No, I'm just saying that was very kind of a savoir faire kind of attitude they gave me about it. But please go ahead.
Well, I mean, my feeling about that has been that, and, you know, we had someone trying to give us a manifest last week that I had to cut off, which I never like to do. But, you know, the fact is that NATO and the European Union, while they were formed for different reasons, they both have the function of maintaining peace on the European continent. Until NATO and the European Union, there were constant wars in Europe. Europe is a bunch of tribes. All these nations are tribes. And this is the only thing that has kept them for the last almost 100 years from tearing each other apart again. That is the function primarily of the EU. And I think especially Britain, that got the stuff bombed out of them during the Second World War. If anybody should remember it, they should. The EU isn't just about commerce. Commerce is the enabler. The EU is about continental peace. And that's the thing that they need to keep in mind.
All right. Well, I appreciate your take on it.
Okay. I appreciate your letting me take my take on it.
It's your show.
Well, you can, you know, I call you guys to talk to you and just voice some stuff. And I like having the different ideas that we can then explore.
Well, you know, I will say if there were to be a second referendum, and, you know, I'm English descent, but I don't have a dog in this fight.
Right.
As the saying goes, I mean, I don't necessarily see a problem with that. But my problem is, you know, a lot of people in the world are playing, you know, armchair quarterback over something that isn't our business.
Well, when you have countries that have big impacts on the world, I think a lot of people feel like they have a stake, if not a vote. I got to let you go. I have one other person on the line. I kind of sort of promised they'd get some airtime. So thank you so much for calling, Bob. Mike?
Oh.
You're on the air. You got a minute or two.
Great. Wasn't going to call in, but the man made a point that there's not a difference between the parties. And I think this gets confused. I've noticed that most politicians will do more, or by omission, do less to keep their power than to use it. And it's very frustrating.
You know, one of the things that was once noted is that you think when you go to Congress, you're one of 100 senators, you have power. You're one of 435 legislators, you have power. But that's not how it feels from the inside. After getting involved for a while, it's like, geez, I got 434 other people or 99 other people that I have to convince. And, you know, you feel powerless because you're one of maybe 10 million voters. They feel powerless because they're one of 435 or 100 voters. And you still have to persuade people to your point of view. It's hard. It's hard work.
I'm going to pivot on you here.
All right. You got 10 seconds to pivot.
The way to get rid of gerrymandering is to make all seats at large. Have everybody, every rep campaign just like a senator. And otherwise, you're just picking which team gets away with gerrymandering.
Well, I think an answer, and I'm going to have to go really quick, an answer, I think, is what they did for the Houston City Council under federal mandate, where you have some at large and some district, and that way you have specific area representation as well as citywide representation. That may be a good compromise, and that's something maybe we'll look into, but states have control over that. Okay, that is my signal that I got to go, and they got carts to run. Thank you all so much for listening. I look forward to speaking with you next week. You've been listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM, and there is another show coming on, so I got to go. KPFT.org.
The National Kidney Foundation will be hosting the annual Konica Minolta Golf Classic on Monday, September 16th at Champions Golf Club. Proceeds from the golf tournament will raise funds for kidney disease prevention and research. Kidney disease affects 37 million people in the United States, with an estimated 1 in 3 Americans at risk for kidney disease. The National Kidney Foundation is the leading organization dedicated to the awareness, prevention, and treatment of kidney disease for hundreds of thousands of healthcare professionals, millions of patients and their families, and tens of millions of Americans. To volunteer for the Konica Minolta Golf Classic, contact hou@kidney.org. To learn more about kidney health, visit kidney.org. This is KPFT Houston.
Where freedom rings and singers sing. Where Robert Earl Keane meets Martin Luther King. From jazz, justice, peace, and rap. R&B, sports, blues, and comedy. From heavy metal standing hand in hand with our chants. We shall not be silent.